Encore with Claire O'Brien, arts and entertainment for the Midlands. With Padder's Bar, In Moat, Gertie Brown's Bar and Bistro, Athlone, and the Cellar Bistro, Strand Street, Athlone.
And you're very welcome to Encore tonight on Midlands 103. It's me again, Claire O'Brien, here as I always am on a Thursday evening between 7 and 8, bringing you the very best of what is happening in the arts in Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. 083 3010 103 is the Lamb Brothers Midlands 103 text line, and encore at midlands103.com is the email address if you would like to get in touch. Tonight, writing a female character. Character who does what some people might consider to be something particularly bad, but at heart, she has a good heart. We'll be talking to the writer a little later on. The play is Vixen. It's coming to the Dunamase Theatre next month. And if you have ever had a quirky idea for a quirky installation or an experience at the Electric Picnic, do stay tuned, because the Trailer Park curator Hugo Jellett wants to hear from you, and he wants to hear about your ideas. He might even give you and your friends a few quid to make that dream a reality. So think about all those times when you've arrived in, probably at the gate there near the trailer park, and you've had some completely random, hilarious, bonkers experience, and you've said to yourself, I could do that, or I'd have loved to do this, or, you know, at a late night you've had a thought with a couple of friends about what you could do. You could just make it happen. That and more on the programme tonight. But before we get to all of that, what is happening in the Midlands in the coming week? Well, tomorrow night at Dunamase, Cool Boy will perform their first headline performance at the Dunamase Arts Centre, and the concert will be filmed as part of a brand new RTE One TV series called On Gaeic Moor. Cool Boy were selected as one of the bands to take part in the series, and the idea behind it is that it follows young bands as they plan and they organise their first big hometown gig, and the programme, or the series indeed, will air on RTE in the autumn. Who are they? Well, they are a four-piece rock band. They're based in the Portlaoise area. They are Fionn Devoy on lead guitar, Tygo Dwyer on rhythm guitar and lead vocals, and Rory Phelan on drums, and Alex Power on bass guitar and vocals. So they are playing on Saturday night. It will be a recorded gig. It sounds like it's going to be really interesting. And if you want to follow a new band, the beginning of their big journey with their first big hometown gig, it might be a really nice place to be on Saturday night. Somewhere else you could be, if Portlaoise is out of your area, is the Esker Arts Centre on Saturday, because Mary Conklin is performing there. On the 3rd of May, if you like your female musicians, Sharon Shannon will be at Dunamase. Also on Saturday, in the Esker Arts Centre, there is a cardboard loom weaving workshop. Actually, I was incorrect there saying Mary Coughlin is Saturday. She's Friday night. There's a cardboard loom weaving workshop, which sounds really, really interesting. And it's great to see all of the different creative experiences the Esker Arts Centre have been giving to people in the Tullamore and wider Offaly area, because you've had the opportunity to make books, to make tiny little dolls, whatever creative itch you want to scratch. It seems like the Esker Arts Centre are there to give you the opportunity to try it out, which is terrific. Also, next week at the Arts Centre, Calendar Girls, the musical, will run. And just as we lead ourselves into that, I thought, what about a bit of music? What about a bit of Gaddy Ballo on the radio? Here is Dare from the original soundtrack to Calendar Girls. You're listening to Encore on Midlands 103. And that is Gary Barlow with the original London cast of Calendar Girls. That is Dare. And of course, it ties in so well with the theme of the musical. And it's funny, I was actually talking to somebody yesterday about Gary Barlow. Just what a phenomenal singer-songwriter he has been. The career he has had. And I heard a very interesting interview with him talking about how he was just crazy about music as a small kid, got a keyboard, ended up when he was quite young, I mean, 15, 16, playing in backing music for bands, playing at night working in doing small gigs in pubs, and then because he had a friend who was involved with a music studio, was able to go in and would stay up all night recording music in the music studio, come back, go to school, work at the pub. And just was performing. And at a really young age, I kind of had his 10,000 hours of work done before his career really became the stellar success that we know it to be. I was telling you just before we heard that track, and we're linking to the fact that Calendar Girls, the music, runs from the 1st to the 5th of May next week at the Esker Arts Centre. A couple of other things happening in Mullingar Arts Centre. Guys and Dolls opened last night. It's on tonight and it will finish up on Friday night. So you can catch that there. And on Sunday, I think it is, Conal Gallen will be doing his thing in Mullingar. It's a one-man comedy show and worth catching. It'll be a bit of a laugh. Also next week on the 2nd and 3rd, as you know from last week's show, a brand new play coming to the, well, a brand new performance of a musical. It's the first time that Mullingar have done it. It is The Dreaming, and that runs for just two nights of magical music and community. And I should also mention, and I should have done it last week, but I just didn't get a chance. We had such a busy show. That the All-Ireland Confined Drama Festival continues in Mount Mellick, and there are just a couple of plays left tonight at 8 o'clock, and you may still get a ticket. Hooked, written by Gillian Grattan, will be performed by Kilrush Drama Group, and tomorrow night it is Stolen Child, written by Barbara Nicoive and Yvonne Quinn, and that is performed by Clann Machua. And the adjudication, the final night then, is the next night when it'll be decided who is the winner of the All-Ireland Confined Drama Festival. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I will be talking to somebody who is trying to get inside the mind of a really interesting character. And that is the character of the other woman on the other side of an affair. Have you ever wondered what goes through the mind of the other woman in the relationship? Well, Helen Casey has had a little bit of a think about that, and she has written the character of Vixen. She'll be telling us a bit about that after the break here on Encore on Midlands 103.
Find Patters Bar Moat on Facebook or Instagram. Midlands
103. And you're very welcome back to Encore. Still to come on the programme, we'll be hearing from Hugo Jellett about how you can get involved in something very exciting at the Electric Picnic if you fancy doing something a bit crazy, bringing your own brand of humour and entertainment to the trailer park. And we will be talking to Jay from Funhouse Theatre about that performance next week of Calendar Girls. Really looking forward to that chat because I know they've been working so hard on that. But have you ever wondered what it might be like to get inside the mind of the other woman? Because it's a perspective that has a lot of stereotyping around it. What is it like to be the woman in the other side of a relationship? Well, somebody who has gotten inside the mind of that character and written a play called Vixen about the other woman is Helen Casey. And Helen joins me on the line. Helen, you're very welcome this evening to Encore.
Thanks, Claire. Lovely to be here.
And lovely to talk to you. I should say that next week on the programme, we'll be talking to the actor Rose Henderson. I had a chat with her last week about this role because she is playing the part of the vixen in the story.
Yeah.
And speaks very highly of the experience of doing that and her experience of working with you and the character. But for the audience here, will you tell us a little bit about that character and where, how she came to you as somebody whose story that we need to hear?
Mm-hmm. I think that's lovely the way you put it, Claire, because she did come to me, maybe not in one sitting, if you like. I had heard over the years various, you know, stories and half tales of people who had affairs and what had happened. And then I had heard something about somebody having an affair and the person had passed away, and it stopped me literally in my tracks. I remember I was walking in the woods and I thought to myself, wow, how can they grieve? how can they process this grief and who can they tell? And I think maybe then when lockdown came, I was in my room one day and I thought, she came to me, this character, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to write her out. And I'm not letting her leave the apartment. I'm not letting her leave the apartment until she has processed this through.
Wow.
Because to me it felt like the purest kind of grief, in a way, the purest kind of love. You know, to love somebody that deeply that you choose this narrow life, this little slice to have of them, you'll never have it all. You know, you're in the shadows, you're hidden, and to opt for that in your mind, you feel you're getting a richness in the depth of the love. So all of that kind of came together, and I sat with her, and I really loved her, and I felt she deserved her voice, if that makes sense. She deserved her stage, her moment in the sun, and then it got written. That's it.
It's funny. When I think of The Other Woman, and this probably says more about me than anything else, but I think of the character of Marie in When Harry Met Sally. And she's always talking to Sally about, I went through his accounts and I saw that he bought her flowers. He's never going to leave her, is he? And all of her conversations are punctuated with this. He's never going to leave her, is he? And you just feel so sorry for her to be putting all her energy into a relationship, which is, well, however satisfying in one way, is futile in other ways.
Of course it is. And that's the thing. It's kind of like a half relationship, really, isn't it? It's a half deal. But there's something in that draws her. And then, you know, some relationships can be very rich in the affair rather than in the marriage. And, you know, these debates, you see, have surfaced afterwards. I won't tell you what happens in the play.
No,
because
don't.
It kind of twists and turns. And Rose is just incredible, the way she inhabits the character. But she goes through the highs of it, and she kind of relives all those, you know, brilliant moments. And then she does come down to the quieter, lonelier times. And there's a little twist and stuff. But it's just one of those that create debate. And afterwards, Claire, there were so many chats and kind of side conversations with me and, you know, people saying, well, my father, you know, had an affair, or my mother did, or I remember seeing the mistress, or I remember being told. And yeah, that kind of thing. And it was interesting and lovely to see that people could see the human side of the mistress, and that she is a living, breathing, poor soul who has lost her heart to this man who's unsustainable.
Yeah, and I suppose there is always, the way you describe it there, is asking us to consider the relationship from the perspective of this woman who has given her heart to a man that she can never have an ultimately fulfilling relationship with, probably. But from the other perspective, and there is a sense of that judgment, I suppose, in the title. She is the homewrecker. She is the woman who, in theory, has destroyed what was, on the face of it, maybe perfect.
And that's true, and that's valid. Then again, maybe the home was already wrecked, or maybe there was an empty to begin with. And you know, you hear them talking about stolen moments and these precious stolen moments, and together they had this, and they had what she felt was a deep love, and
their bridges, you know, of Madison County moments.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very difficult to kind of come down on one side and say, I mean, there is that sense that, you know, she's the enchantress and the temptress and all of this. But then you look at him and you see what, you know, without giving too much away, sometimes there's it's a shared bond, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But it's sad. It's true. It is. There's a sadness to it. Yeah. But
there isn't, particularly in this story, and Rose talks about this as well, the fact that he has died, and where she fits in all of this as the other woman. Is she entitled to grieve?
Mm-hmm. Well, she's not entitled to grieve publicly, and she's no place at the funeral. So she's to be careful, even in his you know, in his death to watch how she behaves, because she still has to be fearful of being seen or being caught or wrong place, wrong time. And even now it's the graveyard. Is there a right time to be at the grave? Can she go to the grave? And I suppose it's that sense of, you know, if she's to stay in the shadows, can she ever come out? Or, well, I won't tell you.
Tell me again about that, just about the title, because it strikes me that having lived during lockdown with this woman, we might talk about more about that in a minute as well. But in coming down on a title that asks, that is probably deliberately controversial or provocative, shall we say, was that in your mind when you were coming up with that?
Well, the whole thing of the foxes came to me in tandem with her. The foxes have a stealth and a grace and an elegance, and they come out at night and they're largely unseen and they're not liked. And then there was, you know, it was a kind of a motif in it, but it was also possibly metaphorical too, because there's a memory that surfaces for her, and boxes are in there. And it really did all sort of come together. And I kind of loved that idea of her revisiting that memory and seeing that sense of what the foxy lady is.
Yeah, because she's not 21 and she's not 25. She is a woman in middle age.
Which is good.
Well, which is great, but which is also, as I, you know, myself and Rose talked this through in the piece that we'll hear next week as well, she's not the typical mistress, because in our minds maybe we have the idea of the young seductress who has captured the heart of this middle-aged man who doesn't know any better, for example.
But, you know, I think I saw Ciarán Hinds recently in RTÉ in The Dry. That was the series that was somewhat, you know, of an older lady too. And there's the sense in what he's clawing after, what she's clawing after, there's a warmth and a comfort and, you know, something tender between them. And they have been together for some time. So I suppose it didn't start off with the older woman. He fell in love with someone somewhat younger, and they've grown and they've aged together, you know?
Yeah. I suppose there's no telling when the right person will come along, or how old we will be, or what situation we'll be in our lives.
And I think to kind of push the boundaries. And I think Balton are wonderful for that, because their programme is about sort of the, you know, something that's a bit edgy and risky and being courageous and creative in older years, and the sense that a woman is still a woman and a sexual being and has her desires and interests and all of that at any age as she goes forward. And and that's why I loved capturing her as a middle-aged woman, of kind of somebody who would be atypical of, as you say, exactly that, the mistress role.
Finally, just talk to me about spending that time during lockdown. This woman has gotten into your mind, and you've decided that just the way you phrased that at the start, she was not getting out of the apartment until she had worked this out. And I'm guessing there was a tussle between the two of you as you both worked through that.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the writing of it, that was the fabulous thing for me, Claire, because I think I discovered the joy of rewriting. So I'd put it out there and then I'd go back and back and back and back at the words and play around with them. Like they're you know, like I'm kind of moving collage in a picture, and I'm a lover of art anyway. But I loved that sense of revisiting, and her voice was always with me. Possibly, that sense of the closed down, the lockdown, the shut-inness helped the creative energy behind this piece.
Brilliant. I'm really looking forward to bringing to the audience the interview that I did during the week with Rose, talking about what it's like to embody this character, because she's so positive about it and about the experience, and also about the conversations that she'll have with people in the audience afterwards, because she likes to come down and chat to people in the audience. So it's going to be great. Vixen is on at Dun Emaith on the 14th of May as part of the Béailtine Festival. Helen Casey, thank you so much for introducing us to her and to how she came into being. Much appreciated.
Yeah. Oh, Claire, it was lovely talking to you and brilliant questioning. So thanks a million.
Thank you so much. That is the writer Helen Casey. And as I say, Vixen is at the Dun Emaith Theatre on the 14th of May with Rose Henderson. We're going to take a quick break. And after that, I'll be talking to Jay Oregon about being a calendar girl. Stay with us on Encore on Midlands 103.
Encore, with thanks to the Cellar Bistro, Strand Street, Athlone. Newly refurbished and open Thursday to Sunday. Find the Cellar Bistro on Facebook. Midlands
103. And you're very welcome back to Encore. Well, in a hall in Tullamore tonight, the rehearsals are underway for Calendar Girls, which comes to the Esker Arts Centre on the big stage next week. And this is a performance that has an unusual route. But I'm joined at the moment by somebody who is stepping out of rehearsals to tell me a little bit about what's happening. And that is Jay Oregon. Jay, you're very welcome to Encore this evening.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, delighted to have
you
on.
I've just stepped out of the rehearsal room. We're down at the Sacred Heart School in Tullamore. I've just left everyone in to clear out the desks. It's one of our last big rehearsals before we move to the theatre on Sunday.
Tell me how it is going. What's it been like for that bonding session that is the production of Calendar Girls?
Yeah, absolutely. We're doing Calendar Girls the musical now, just to be completely correct in what it is. But it's very much based on the play. So as probably most people know, the play was based on the movie, the 2003 movie with Helen Mirren and Julie Walters. And it's based on the true story of women of the WI in Yorkshire, which I suppose in Irish terms would have been like the ICA, if you like, a kind of group of conservative women kind of doing crafty bits and things like that. And one of the women's husband gets leukemia and he passed away. So they decide that they are going to do a calendar, which they do every year. But the calendar is traditionally pictures of churches and things like that. But they decide that they will do a nude calendar and to raise money to get a sofa for the relatives of the room in this hospital. But it became an overwhelming success, and they were up over like £6 million or something they raised in the year they did it, and it's kind of caught on, I suppose, almost globally. So it was adapted for the stage, I think, and Gary Barlow, Tim Farthing, wrote the score for it, and I think it was released as a musical in 2015. So it's kind of new to the Irish amateur scene. It was done in Galway in September, and we're the only other group to have it in the Republic for the rest of the year.
Okay.
So
we heard a little bit there at the top of the programme. We heard one of those tracks from the soundtrack. It was a bonus one.
Very good.
Which was Dare with Gary Barlow singing with the original London cast.
Yeah.
And there is that whole sense of daring these women of a certain age. To carry on a theme on the programme tonight, actually.
Yeah.
Women of a certain age who are really pushing themselves completely out of their comfort zones.
Yeah.
What has been like for ye to get into those parts and into those characters and put on their shoes, so to speak, and take off their shoes?
It's one of the best shows that I've done for women's parts. Like, often you get a woman's part that's underwritten, or they're the love interest, or, you know, it's very much typecast. This is a whole array of different...
We've lost you there.
Apologies for that. I think maybe there must be a bit of block down here in the mobile phones in the school.
That is no problem. Yes, well, this happens very often in schools. So the song that we hear there, Yorkshire, it is a rousing choral number. Tell us a little bit about how it fits into the storyline.
So that's Yorkshire is the opening song in the show, and it's kind of where you get introduced to all the people of the village and kind of who's in whose family and what kind of jobs they do, and it kind of gives a little picture of the ordinary village life. So it kind of sets the scene, if you like, for the show.
Were telling us that it's been a really positive experience of women's parts.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're rare enough to come by. Like I said, in many musicals in particular, the script can be underwritten anyway. And with women's parts in particular, you know, the kind of love interest can be a bit of a wet part, or, you know, there's just like the nagging mammy, or there's kind
stereotypical
of...
Stereotypical characters.
Exactly, exactly. Where in this, we get to have, like, you get to play with a broad range of emotions. As I said, there's great comedy in it, and other times it's just absolutely heartbreaking. So I think the audience, especially a Tullamore audience, are going to love it. I would say bring the tissues for tears of laughter and tears of emotion, 100%. But I think it's a great time as well in Tullamore to have this show. Like, the ground is going to be broken on the new Midlands Regional Hospice, hopefully in the coming weeks, which is badly needed service for the area. So it kind of aligned with why we chose to do the show.
Yeah.
you know, that we could fundraise for that as well, you know, while we were doing the show. Which I suppose, I don't know if you've got a look at our nude calendar yet, but I'm sure one will cross your palms shortly.
I'm sure it will. And this is also part of the fundraising.
Absolutely. So we've done a couple of fundraisers for the hospice. We had a good few people out doing our sunflower steps.
That's right.
In January,
yeah,
February and March.
We talked to Georgie about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was a great success, and thanks to everyone that did that. We did a great waxing and a hair removal night there in the warehouse the other week. So we had all of our male cast and a few random strangers in the pub that got underwent a bit of pain. But our nude calendar is community based. So we've had a lot of businesses in the town that have sponsored a month, and we kind of thought that we would have to pose for them, but they've actually been very, very forthcoming. Like, I think we had 20 odd fellas from Glenwood up there in Axis that got their kit off, shall I say.
Fantastic.
For the calendar.
And only across the road from us here.
There you go. You'll see more of them lads than you ever thought you would before. But no, there's actually been great support, especially from up in Axis, actually. We've put a few businesses up there, DNS and Print Plus and all that, got on board with us.
Brilliant.
So it's been fantastic. And we have another fundraiser then, is our Emma Campbell. She's an artist in Kildare, and she did a painting for us for the show. And we're actually doing a big raffle for the original painting for the hospice as well. So I get a quick plug, and funhouse.ie if you want to have a chance of winning it and raising money for the hospice.
Absolutely, absolutely, because it's so important. You know, even in the storyline of the musical, of the play, of the movie, I remember about 10 years ago, more maybe, being in Athlone when Ollie Hegarty was directing the play. And I met some of the women who were involved in that. We were rehearsing again in a school, and this time in Athlone. And what came across from the women was the sense of the bonds that were created in doing this play and doing this performance, being part of this experience, almost being as important, maybe more important than the being on stage and the performing. How's that experience been for you?
Absolutely. Yeah? Absolutely. And you'll find that from the cast we have here. We have people who have never done a show before, and other people that are travelling from quite a distance, like from like North Mead, for example, who are just coming down for this particular show for a particular reason, you know, like as a tribute to somebody that has passed or just something about it that attracted them to it. I suppose I was lucky in that I've been in the musical before in the Town Hall Theatre in Galway in September. And I know firsthand the experience of going through it with the other girls. Like, I remember thinking, oh God, I'm going to have to get some way in semi-nude here.
Yeah.
But in one way, it was really, really empowering. And it was always about like being at a rock concert. Like, the feedback from it was phenomenal. There was women in the audience that were saying, you know, Jesus, it was just amazing to see other ordinary women up there doing it. Like, I wanted to go up there and do it with you. So it's very...
empowering.
It's very strong in female empowerment, I think. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And the other thing that I recall from that interview at that time was the importance of the strategic placing of furniture.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, and actually it is written into the script at the start of it that, like, you know, nudity is not a requirement of the show. In fact, like, it will kind of give the gag away. I suppose the gag is that you strategically place your props and it gives the illusion of nudity. But it's very comedic, you know. It's used to a very, very funny effect. And a lot of people would be familiar with it from the movie, you know. It's kind of iconic, the cream buns and all that.
The energy that you bring to talking about it, I imagine, translates to the stage as well. And when you move then to Esker to do your final rehearsal there, it's going to be great to be on that big stage.
Absolutely. I mean, the theatre's a year open. Are we in May yet or not? We're still in April. It's a year open this month, which is amazing. I actually did the first show on it last year, which is Michael Collins with Tullamore. So I'll be back there at the same time again this year in another show, which I produced somehow. So I had about 10 euros in my bank account when I started this. But maybe I was quite naive, but it's been quite the learning curve. But no, it's fantastic. And we're expecting over 1,300 people through the doors next weekend. We've one ticket left for all of our night shows. And our matinee, oh, we're well over, I think we're about 60% sold out in our matinee. So there's very few tickets left. But as you know, a Sunday matinee in the bank holiday, it was great. And there's plenty of restaurants around where you could have a nice meal or a few
That's
drinks
a great
afterwards.
Talent. Yeah. Yeah. We wish you the very best of luck with it.
Thank you so much.
And well done to all of you who are involved.
And absolutely. And if I could just say thanks to everyone in the community that's come on board with us, because like really people have been great, you know, when we reached out to them. And you kind of, it's hard to go looking for funds, and you know it's the same people that get hit all the time.
Yeah.
But the town has been really responsive to this, and I hope that they all really enjoy the show next weekend.
There's no doubt but that they will. Thank you so much, so much for talking
and
to
you
us,
too.
Jay.
Have a lovely evening. Thank you very
and
much.
And have a great show and a great rehearsal tonight when you get back
inside.
Absolutely. Thanks a million for talking
to us.
Thank
you so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And that's Jay Oregon, who has stepped out of rehearsals down at the Sacred Heart School in Tullamore to chat to us about that performance. And it is next week at the, let me get the dates again for you. It is next week at the Esker Arts Centre and running from the 1st of May to the 5th of May. Now, we are going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll have a tiny bit more music, and then we will be finding out what you can do to get yourself not just some free tickets to the Electric Picnic, but an opportunity to perform your own quirky, out there, entertaining little event in the trailer park. Stay with us on Encore on Midlands 103.
Encore, with thanks to the Sellout Bistro, Strand Street, Athlone, newly refurbished and open Thursday to Sunday. Find the Sellout Bistro on Facebook. Midlands 103.
Electric Picnics. Creative Director is looking for you if you have some creativity and some inventiveness. They would like you to renovate a camper van for the trailer park site, and the jaw-dropping, exciting entries will be invited to present their work at the caravan base, and you'll have a chance of winning a grant to do that. Hugo Jellett has been talking to my colleague Courtney Callaghan, and this is what he had to say.
In a nutshell, it's a way of a bunch of pals who are sitting around a kitchen table wanting to fulfill or to build or to create an idea that they've all had, and then bring it to Electric Picnic and open its doors and activate it to the public. So what that really means is that we would give grants to all the successful participants, not huge grants, but you know, 1,000 or 2,000 euro to turn perhaps a caravan or a mobile home or a trailer into a stage or a venue or into an undertaker's shop or into something that they have some madcap idea that they created themselves and want to fulfill. Now, we're not interested in people who want to make lovely bedrooms out of their caravans, and we're not interested in people who want to sell tequila shots from their caravans. And indeed, we probably, to give a guide to people, have too many DJs, to coin a phrase. And so it's really about theatricity, and it's about getting a bunch of friends to come and do something that's a little bit silly or a little bit of fun, or fulfill some of their thespian or theatre aspirations. An example might be, to take one from the past, for a group to put together a church, and the church might be a church of Epiphany, and people who go to Electric Picnic come to their church and they worship in some way with them. Probably not the religious type of worship that you might expect in a church elsewhere.
Is it a competition for people to enter to be able to be qualified for this grant?
Yes, exactly. So it's a competition. It opened yesterday, and you to enter it, you go onto the Electric Picnic website and look for the trailer park competition. It gives you all the details of how to enter it and the kind of things that we're looking for. And it gives you about 15 or 20 ideas that have been successful in the past so that you can get a bit of a steer. But what happens in the end of it is that you and eight of your friends get tickets to the Electric Picnic and a cash grant to help you along to develop whatever your idea is. And we receive all the entries in, and then we look through them and we choose perhaps the best 20 of them and try to make them come to life.
Okay, so it's a very big competition then.
Yeah, it ends up forming this area called Trailer Park. And Trailer Park is, we call it a mobile tropolis, because it's a little townscape that's made up of small venues and interventions, all of which are on wheels, caravans, trailers, horse boxes, and so on. And I think it's reasonable and fair for me to say that you're not going to get rich from it. No, what you're going to get from it is a really fun weekend at Electric Picnic for you and a bunch of your pals, and the chance to do something with an idea that you've only spoken about before and never got anywhere with.
Okay, and Hugo, what's the deadline to enter? When is the last date for entries to be accepted?
I think the deadline is the 10th of May. Again, you'll see that at entry point when you look at the Electric Picnic website. But I think it's the 10th of May. And we'll let everyone know very quickly. It will be a week or two at the outside.
So there you have it. In a fortnight, you could be with your friends getting organised to pull together your Electric Picnic camper van experience. Tell your friends about it. The 10th of May, as he says there, is the closing date. It just sounds fantastic. Thank you for the pleasure of your company this evening. It is, as always, lovely to have you with us. Next Thursday night, I'll be back with more of what's happening in the arts in Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. And the wonderful Joe Cooney is in the building. I see him there inside in studio too. He's getting ready to bring you the best of Irish and American country music. We're going to play out tonight with Mary Coughlan. She is in the Esker Arts Centre tomorrow night. 10 albums later, can you believe it? Extraordinary woman. What a career. She's singing here All of Me from her Billie Holiday collection. Thanks for your company this evening. Take care of yourself. Good night.